Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, it's time for the Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. We'll take a look at today's college football landscape with insights into the big games this weekend from the top 25 to the SEC. With interviews, scoreboard updates, and more. The Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show is also brought to you in part by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, Inns Bank, the Klein Preston Law Group, Penn Station East Coast Subs, Casa of Nashville, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, and real estate agent Richard Courtney of Frederick and Clark Realty. And now, here's your host, Johnny Ballpark Franks.
Let's get it going. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you with another edition of our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. Jonathan Najjar making sure everything runs smoothly for the next 2 hours, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, the coldest team in town, now offering great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. For more information, you can go to their website, GogginCold.com. Big thanks, as always, each and every week to our sponsors, including the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, Penn Station East Coast Subs, real estate agent Richard Courtney, Inns Bank, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, along with Casa of Nashville and Klein Preston Law Group, and a new sponsor as of last week, Lanham's AC Service as well. This hour being brought to you by Lanham's AC Service. For all your heating and cooling needs, check out Lanham's AC Service. Coming up on today's show, we'll be previewing the SEC Top 25 and all types of other in-between with regards to getting you ready for today's action as far as the college football landscape. Coming up at 10:20, Will West, co-host on Knoxville Sports Radio, WNML, will join us as we preview the matchup today with Tennessee taking on Mississippi State. That game will be one of the is the early game, along with Georgia hosting South Carolina. Also this afternoon in SEC play, 2:30, the SEC game on CBS. Number one ranked Alabama at 24th ranked Texas A&M. At 3 o'clock this afternoon, the only non-conference game involving an SEC team, as Vanderbilt looking for their second win of the season, 1-4. Playing host to UNLV, 3 o'clock kickoff for that one over at Vanderbilt Stadium. UNLV, the Rebels, enter this game 1-4. Back-to-back weeks for Vanderbilt, taking on a team with a nickname, the Rebels. In fact, the only two teams as far as FBS using the nicknames Rebels. 3 o'clock once again over at Vanderbilt. The rest of the games, under the lights, 6 o'clock kickoff in Missouri, as Missouri, 4-1, 1-0 in conference play, takes on Ole Miss, the Rebels, after their victory against Vanderbilt last Saturday, improved to 3-3 overall, 2-1 in the SEC. At 6:30 tonight, Kentucky, 2-3 on the year, still looking for their first conference win, however, 0-3 in conference play, taking on the Arkansas Razorbacks. The Razorbacks, 2-3, also looking for their first conference win. They entered this game tonight 0-2 so far in the SEC. And then finally, not only the big game in the SEC, the big game across the land in college football involving, by the way, for the second straight week, the Florida Gators as far as a top 10 matchup. As 7th-ranked Florida, last week number 10, moved up 3 notches after their victory over Auburn last week. They enter this game taking on LSU tonight, 7 o'clock kickoff from Tiger Stadium. By the way, Florida, one of only two teams so far bowl eligible with regards to getting the 6 wins needed to be bowl eligible. Ohio State, the only other Power 5 conference team that has achieved that so far this year. But today they should get some company with several teams across the land with the opportunity to get their 6th victory for the 2019 campaign. Only Auburn, the only team, has a bye week this week in the SEC. They're resting up after they lost last week 24-13 to the Florida Gators. 5-1 now on the season for the Auburn Tigers, 2-1 in the SEC. Auburn back in action next week on the road taking on Arkansas. They'll wrap up the month of October with a key game against LSU, by the way, in Baton Rouge on October 26. Already, several games have been played this week involving teams in the FBS. First of all, on Wednesday, the Sun Belt Wednesday night special, Appalachian State remained unbeaten, improving to 5-0 on the season, 2-0 in the Sun Belt, winning over Louisiana 17-7. Thursday night in ACC action, it was North Carolina State improving to 4-2 on the year, 1-1 in the conference as they downed Syracuse 16-10. Syracuse, with the loss, fell to 3-3 on the year, 0-2 in the ACC. And then last night, a couple of games involving teams ranked in the top 25. Remember when I said Oregon back in Labor Day weekend after they lost to Auburn on that final in the final few seconds of that ball game? Watch out for Oregon to run the table the rest of the way and certainly put themselves in the conversation as far as the college football playoff. Last night, it was 13th-ranked Oregon. No trouble at all over Colorado, winning 45-3. Oregon improved to 5-1 on the season, 3-0 in the Pac-12. Colorado falls to 1-2 in Pac-12 conference play, 3-3 on the year. And then it was 20th-ranked Virginia looking to stop their road losing streak on the road in Miami against the Hurricanes. It did not happen as the Hurricanes come up with a big win, 17-9 over Virginia. This game was a 7-3 game going into the fourth quarter, but it was Miami outscoring Virginia 10-6, and that was the difference as the Hurricanes improved to 3-3 on the year, 1-2 in the ACC, beating Virginia 17-9. With the loss, Virginia falls to 4-2 on the year, 2-1 in the ACC. And then finally last night in Mountain West play, it was Colorado State beating New Mexico 35-21. As far as the matchups today in the top 25, starting with number one ranked Alabama, we spoke about this. Four contests today involving where both teams are ranked in the top 25 as Alabama travels to take on 24th-ranked Texas A&M, 2:30 start time for that one. It's number two-ranked Clemson, first game since being knocked out of the number one perch. They're angry. They've been testy all week. You could hear it in the words from Dabo Swinney and the players. Tired of being asked, what's wrong with the team? Watch out for – this could go either way. This could be in a situation today as they host Florida State, 2:30 start time for this one at Clemson. This could be a game where Clemson finally shows up and plays like everybody's been anticipating them playing all year long. And who knows, they could be up 49-3 or something like that at halftime. Or this could be a game where, just like we saw against North Carolina, where North Carolina fell two-point conversion away from taking the lead with just over a minute to go, this could be a game decided in the waning moments. So it's going to be one or the other. I don't think there'll be an in-between. By the way, Clemson, heavy favorites today, almost four-touchdown favorite against Florida State. Ohio State, number three, and tied with Georgia in the latest AP poll. They're off today after downing 25th-ranked Michigan State last week, 34-10. Speaking of Georgia, they're one of the early kickoffs this morning, 11 o'clock kickoff, as they're playing host to South Carolina. Number five, LSU, as we mentioned earlier, they're taking on 7th-ranked Florida tonight, 7 o'clock kickoff from Tiger Stadium. It's 6th-ranked Oklahoma taking on 11th-ranked Texas. It's another matchup, so that's going to be three matchups right there as far as involving both teams ranked in the top 25. The LSU-Florida matchup, the only one where both teams are ranked in the top 10. Once again, 7 o'clock kickoff for that one between LSU-Florida. But Oklahoma-Texas, the Red River rivalry, interesting things. The Texas players kind of got a little mad, ticked off at Jalen Hurts, the quarterback for Oklahoma, because the fact that when Jalen was asked about the importance, the big stage, Red River rivalry, it's like, I played in the Iron Bowl. I played in national title games. I understand it's Texas, but so the Texas players, some of them have taken offense to that. So, and by the way, Oklahoma, double-digit favorite today in this game, neutral site there in Dallas. Something tells me, I mean, this game, when you look over the last 5 years, decided by 7 points or less, Oklahoma favored by 11. Something tells me that Texas is going to be in a position to win this game in the fourth quarter. I like Texas in the point, and I would not be shocked at all to see Texas pull off the surprise and knock Oklahoma out of the ranks of the unbeatens. It's 8th-ranked Wisconsin, 2:30 kickoff today for them as they host Michigan State. 9th-ranked Notre Dame, a night game tonight. Remember when this game used to mean something? Is it even a blip on the radar today as 9th-ranked Notre Dame hosts USC? Is anybody talking about it? Not really. I mean, you just go back a decade ago how this game was hugely important. Maybe we'll get there again soon. 10th-ranked Penn State, 6:30 kickoff for them as they're on the road taking on 17th-ranked Iowa. 12th-ranked Auburn, as we mentioned earlier, off this week, back in action again next week as they travel to take on Arkansas. We mentioned earlier, too, 13th-ranked Oregon, big win last night for them, 45-3 over Colorado. Depending on how things play out today involving teams in the top 10, certainly would not be surprised at all for Oregon to be ranked in the top 10 in the new poll released tomorrow, or at least flirting with it, maybe just on the outside looking in as they continue to rise in the polls. 14th-ranked Boise State in action tonight, hosting Iowa, 9:15 Central time start for that one. It's Utah from the Pac-12, 15th-ranked, 7 o'clock kickoff for them. They're at Oregon State. It's Michigan. Huge win for Michigan last week against 14th-ranked Iowa at the time, 10-3. Michigan, with the win, moved up from the 19th spot to number 16. 11 a.m. kickoff for them today as they travel to take on Illinois. You have 18th-ranked Arizona State, improved to 4-1 2 weeks ago. They moved up two spots from the 20th position to number 18. Herm Edwards doing an incredible job for Arizona State. 2:30 kickoff for them this afternoon as they take on Mike Leach's Washington State squad. It's Wake Forest. How about Wake Forest, by the way? The fifth longest winning streak, current winning streak right now in all of college football with 7 straight wins. It's historic so far streak what Wake Forest is doing. The Demon Deacons ranked 19th, 6:30 kickoff for them as they play host to Louisville. We mentioned earlier it was 20th-ranked Virginia losing last night 17-9 to Miami, which means Virginia should drop out of the top 25 after that loss. 21st-ranked SMU, after beating Tulsa last week 43-37, off this week. 22nd-ranked Baylor, 3 o'clock kickoff this afternoon for them, Big 12 play as they play host to Texas Tech. 11 a.m. kickoff for 23rd-ranked Memphis. Once again, they're on the road in American Athletic Conference play this morning as they're at Temple. 24th-ranked Texas A&M, as we mentioned earlier, playing host to number 1-ranked Alabama. And then finally is 25th-ranked Cincinnati, 2:30 kickoff for them this afternoon as they're at Houston. All right, coming up, as we mentioned previously, a little bit later this hour, we have a chance to visit with Ryan Fowler out of Tuscaloosa. It's the home station for the Crimson Tide in Tuscaloosa, the game on 100.9. But coming up next, Will West, co-host on Knoxville Sports Radio WNML, to preview Tennessee versus Mississippi State and more as our countdown to kickoff tailgate show just getting underway right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
This is Jim Renitz, CEO of InsBank. For over 17 years, InsBank has been proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses, people we consider friends. InsBank is a true local bank built by and for Nashville business leaders, a place where clients' best interests come first, a place where you have access to local decision makers, and a place where you receive the personalized service you deserve. It's because we are a different kind of bank that knows what makes sense for you and your business. Come visit us at our Green Hills or Brentwood office or online at InsBankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know InsBank, where genuine matters.
Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Penn Station likes to mix things up. Cold subs for lunch, grilled subs for dinner, wraps and salads for any time. Penn Station's got a variety of delicious extras for everyone in the family. Fresh cut fries, cheese bread, kids' meals, and chocolate chunk cookies. So whether we grill, we fry, or we bake, we like to give you plenty of options. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
Every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line. It's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home.
Knowledge, trust, results.
Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. Learn more about his proven marketing plan at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. Richard Courtney is part of Frederick and Clark Realty. 615-327-4800.
Whether having heating concerns during the cold winter months or looking to cool off those hot summer days, nobody in Middle Tennessee is better equipped to serve your needs than Lanham's AC Service. From heating and cooling issues to water heaters, you can count on Lanham's AC Service with a system and solution that fits your unique needs while doing it right the first time. Serving the area for over 30 years, owner Brian Eskew and his team are dedicated to providing the best possible solutions for your home or business as they provide reliable and honest service for Nashville and Middle Tennessee, and they do it with the name brands you have come to trust. You will not find a more caring and qualified company than Lanham's AC Service. And remember, financing is available and they service and repair all brands. Call today to schedule a service or maintenance call, 615-969-9065. That's 969-9065, or go to lanhamsacservice.com.
You're listening to the Countdown to Kickoff Show with Johnny Ballpark Franks.
And welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. I'd like to give a salute out to one of our sponsors, the Klein Preston Law Group here in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and the Southeastern Conference. With over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice, their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group, representing clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee, all the way to United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, KleinPrestonLaw.com. A little bit later this hour, Ryan Fowler joins us from Tuscaloosa with Tide 100.9 FM as we preview Alabama, Texas A&M, and more. But right now, going to the hotline, our good buddy Will West, co-host on Knoxville Sports Radio, WNML, joining us as Tennessee, Mississippi State prepare to kick off a little bit later this hour, or just after 11 a.m. Central Time over in Knoxville. First of all, Will, good morning to you, and as always, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Johnny.
All right, so I'm looking at this situation with Brian Maurer at quarterback, and you know, you could have the same tools as a quarterback, but if you have one with a different swagger, a confidence, energy, players feed off of that, and that, to me, so far is what I see out of Brian Maurer, with what we saw last week in the last time Tennessee took the field against Georgia.
Yeah, I do think that's a lot of the case. I mean, Brian Maurer, look, and nothing against Garantano, because I think there was a time Jared Garantano was that guy, and they, you know, the team stuck with Butch Jones, stuck with Quentin Dormady, and Garantano's that got the team kind of rallied behind because of the energy he brought to the table. That guy's body's just broken. It's just been, he's been hit so many times. The last year, from what I'm told, he dealt with two knee issues, both knees, both shoulders, and broken ribs, and he played through that. And I think it's somewhat similar to like what Cam Newton's going through right now. He's just broken. And I don't know if Jared Garantano, without maybe taking a year off like Jalen Hurd or something like that, is going to end up being able to really be salvaged as a quarterback right now. But if he takes that time, gets his body healthy, you know what I mean, gets his mind right, I think he can be okay. The team is rallying behind Maurer, and I do think it helps that Maurer gets the ball to the stands quickly and pushes the ball forward. That's something that I think last year, the way that they just drilled into Garantano's head, don't throw the ball downfield, don't make a mistake, don't make a mistake, don't make a mistake. Everything was behind the line of scrimmage pass or lateral pass. And it's now I think it's a little tough for him to push the ball downfield. It's just not the thing that he does kind of involuntarily. That's not his first immediate reaction. Brian Maurer does. He wants to push the ball downfield. I mean, I think his biggest strength is how quickly he gets the ball out of his hands. We'll see the way that translates this week, because last week he looked really good when they were running RPO. The second they stopped running RPO and he had to read the field, it went poorly and it didn't go well at all. So, and it didn't go well for Garantano either. Now that's Georgia's defense. But we'll see where Brian Maurer is this week against Mississippi State. But it does seem as if the team is rallying around him. And I think it helps that Juwan Jennings and Marquez Callaway are two of the bigger voices in that locker room when you're finally getting them the football.
You know, it's interesting with Mississippi State. If you look at them in some ways, you can say they've underachieved. You know, I will give them a pass on losing at Auburn. I will not give them one losing at home against Kansas State, because this team, 3-2 on the year, 1-1 in conference play, this is a team that should be a top 25 team, not a top 10 or top 15 or even a top 20, but it should be a top 25 squad. On paper, they're better than Tennessee, but, you know, based on the way we saw Tennessee play, especially in that first 25 minutes or so against Georgia, this is a very winnable game for Tennessee today.
Yeah, it is. This is on the table. This game is absolutely on the table in a way that maybe I didn't think that it was after the Florida loss. Not that Tennessee did a ton to impress you last week. The tough part's this. There's not a lot when you look at, like, matchup versus matchup that you're looking at saying Tennessee's better than Mississippi State here. But what you can look at and say is Tennessee can exploit this out of Mississippi State. Mississippi State's not particularly great at stopping the run. Tennessee can't run the ball well, but when they have been successful offensively, it's been a lot of Ty Chandler on the ground, Eric Gray on the ground, and if the offensive line's okay, let's remember there were three offensive linemen that had to leave the game in the fourth quarter against Georgia. Maybe Tennessee can go out there, get a little bit of a running game going, maybe work some RPO with Brian Maurer and kind of mix things up a little bit, and maybe give Mississippi State some trouble. That Kansas State game was really weird when I watched it, Johnny. It was, you know, they lost the quarterback, and Schrader, that kid's got guts, right?
Oh, I love watching him play. Absolutely love watching him play.
Yeah, maybe too many. You know what I mean? Maybe like more guts than brains right now, or more guts than understanding of how to play the game of football at the collegiate level yet. So that was a weird game offensively. So I agree with you. I give them a free pass to some extent even offensively in that game. But defensively, for them to give up that many points to Kansas State, that's a little bit troubling. And I do think that Mississippi State's in a very similar situation than Tennessee right now, in that I think Mississippi State's season's on the line in this one, because if you lose this one, you're going to lose A&M, you're going to lose to Alabama coming up, and then what does this look like down the line for this team?
Well, a couple of things at work here. We know that, you know, Tennessee, and it doesn't help that they play Alabama every year, but Tennessee has certainly struggled against teams from the SEC West. Another thing, and we've talked about this previously too, and it's to the point where I am so now buying in that something has to change with the way we have SEC West with 7, the SEC East with 7, because today, this is the first time these two football teams have faced off against each other since 2012. It's only the third time that these teams have played each other in Knoxville since 96, and Tennessee will not play Mississippi State again until going to Starkville in 2024. Something has to change. I like the proposal I saw last week on ESPN, where it goes down to you have all 14, you lumped them all together like we're seeing in basketball now, and you get one team with three permanent opponents, and then the other 10, you're playing 5 this year, 5 the next year. So within a 4-year period of time, you're seeing a team at home and on the road, because this to me is just total nonsense.
Yeah, I that would absolutely work. It is almost like here in Knoxville, Texas A&M and Mississippi State are virtually in a different conference, right? Tennessee will have played Oklahoma twice as often as they play Texas A&M once they finish this next home-and-home that's coming up the next couple of years. That's just, to see Oklahoma more often than you see teams within your own conference is just kind of ridiculous, because you play two sets of, you know, home-and-home games within a 10 or 12-year period. I have a buddy of mine who's in the local television news here who's done over a decade here. I think he's done right about a decade here. He has never seen Mississippi State, played a Mississippi State grad, has never been here for Tennessee to play Mississippi State. So it's just dumb the way that they set the thing up. I would also give her the permanent cross-division rival if they're going to keep the division situation, and I think that they financially want to keep that. I would at least get rid of that and bump it up to 9 games, because the whole thing's just kind of silly. I don't need to see all these cupcake games, for gosh sakes. So kill one of the cupcake games, go to a 9-game schedule, and roll this, and get, like, I know that people want to keep Alabama, Tennessee, and people want to keep Georgia, Auburn.
And you can keep that.
If you do it that way, you absolutely could keep that. I just don't know, from what I'm told, I don't know how gung-ho some of the school presidents are about getting rid of that, because I think they don't want to see a rematch within the SEC championship game. My argument would be that, who cares? If you see Georgia, Alabama twice during a year, nobody's turning the television off of that, right?
Right. And you go back to the fact, I mean, did anybody really want to see Alabama, LSU, a rematch for the national title in 2011? Sometimes these things just happen. And, you know, it's just the way it works. But considering that compared to the fact we never see these teams, or some of them, I'd rather take their chances And even with an Alabama-Auburn where it's even back-to-back, you know, like you said, who cares? Because here's the other part about it. If we are in that situation, it opens up the door, certainly for an SEC, that team that didn't make it into the SEC championship game, to be one of those four college football teams, which means two from the SEC would be in the college football playoff. If you sell it from that perspective, then I think you've got something that you can actually juice the wheels a little bit and grease the wheels.
Yeah, I think that would absolutely work. Like, for me, it's whatever gets to where you see more games. That's what I want to see. You want to see more competition. You want to see teams play other teams. If that to me would probably be the easiest way to do this. If they aren't going to go with that, well, then for me, kill the permanent cross division rival. And you know, I love Alabama Georgia. It's a great rivalry. Everybody here in Knoxville loves, you know, Tennessee Alabama, but we're pretty much handcuffing the rest of the conference to play games that they don't know that they necessarily care about that much, just so we can get those two games on in October and November.
See, Tennessee is really simple. Tennessee would have Alabama, Tennessee would have Vanderbilt, and then pick or choose whether we're talking Georgia or Florida. But if you go Georgia, you're still going to see Florida two out of every 4 years. One at home, one on the road. So what's wrong with that picture?
No, I agree with you. I think it would be – look, that works. I mean, I just don't know – again, just from based on people I've spoken to, I don't know that school presidents are behind that that model right now. When Andy Staples kind of wrote about something similar at The Athletic, I talked to as many people as I could around the sport. I just don't think that that's something the school presidents of all people, I think, are behind. But for me, who cares? The concern I kept hearing about was, well, what if we see Auburn-Alabama back-to-back? Okay, I'm watching Auburn-Alabama back-to-back. What if we see Georgia-Alabama twice in a year? Okay, I'm seeing Georgia-Alabama twice a year. That's awesome. I would much rather watch that than some of the other games that we get. That, frankly, most people around the SEC would rather see Georgia-Alabama twice this year than Tennessee-Mississippi State once, right?
Well, the other thing, too, I go back to before we had, you know, the SEC moved out there in 92 to say, okay, we're going to play a conference championship game. A lot of football coaches, a lot of administrators did not like the idea because the thought process was, we'll never have another national champion from the SEC. How did that work out? That premonition never worked out because the SEC was just fine, thank you very much. And so I think it would be just fine, but even more rewarding for the fans of SEC teams if they went to that. Because I don't think you need nine conference games. Because here's the thing, as I said it all along, the Pac-12 always wants to say, hey, we play nine conference games, the SEC only plays eight. But look at the pathetic non-conference schedule that when you look at as the Pac-12 as a whole, what they play, and I've said it over and over and over again, a 6-6 team in the Pac-12, mediocre. A 6-6 team in the SEC, that's a good team.
Yeah, usually pretty solid. So it's if they stay at eight, I'm fine with that. If they go to nine, I'm okay with that too. I will tell you, I am tired of the cupcake games, period. My concern is, and from what I've been told, that if they went to nine conference games, that when Saban started pounding the table about going to nine, when they said this about nine conference games, what I kept being told was, we'll just kill this, we'll kill the actual quality non-conference opponent. Nobody wants to see that, right? I'd like for them to kill the cupcake games, but the cupcake games are kind of a way to gouge the fan base, and they're here to stay.
I want 11 teams or 11 opponents as far as Power 5, and you can also include a Notre Dame, an Army in that scenario. And the other game comes from the Group of Five. I don't want to see FBS teams playing FCS. Your Group of Five, if they want to go that direction, they can schedule one or whatever FCS. But I think the FBS should go to, of their 12-game regular season schedule, 11 should be against Power Five, including a Notre Dame and Army, and that other game should be against a Group of Five team.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. I'd love to see them do that. I mean, think about the number of games, the number of weeks this year in college football that you really didn't see that many quality games. Or frankly, it was tough to find a quality game. Or like a noon window game that wasn't a double-digit deficit, you know, by halftime. I mean, we've seen that a number of times this year, and a lot of that's just by virtue of teams are scheduling three, sometimes four cupcake games, you know, one in the FCS and then two with the Group of Five. I would love to see them limit the number of Group of Five opponents that they play, and you're right, there's no reason to go with the FCS thing. You know, it happened with Butch here, that Tennessee, I think, played their first FCS opponent. When that happened, former players were livid because that was something that Tennessee hung their hat on. Is we don't play FCS teams, and then Tennessee goes and plays, starts playing FCS teams, and I will tell you that it didn't go over well. Maybe it's Dooley that did that, actually. It didn't go over well when that happened, and let's be honest, Tennessee versus Chattanooga this year, that's not a game. It doesn't help Chattanooga outside of maybe being able to get a paycheck.
Before we let you go, the key thing you're watching out for in this matchup between Tennessee and Mississippi State?
Can Tennessee slow down the run game? Mississippi State is fourth in the SEC in rushing offense. They're in the top 30 in rushing offense. They're 14th in the SEC in passing offense. If Tennessee can slow down the run game, Tennessee has a chance to win this football game.
And the big thing, that big factor would be Mississippi State's running back Kylan Hill. Not only is he the SEC's leading rusher, he's among the top 10 in the country in that department. So besides what he is able to do and also what they're able to get on the ground from the quarterback spot, that's definitely a big key today. Will, as always, we appreciate you. I hope you have a wonderful college football and football weekend. And if you're not doing so already, you can follow Will on Twitter at Will West, WNML, co-host on Knoxville Sports Radio, WNML. We appreciate you as always. We'll talk soon.
Hey, thanks a lot, Johnny.
Thank you. That's Will West joining us from Knoxville. Coming up on the other side, chance talks some Alabama, Texas A&M. Ryan Thaler, talk show host down in Tuscaloosa on Tide 100.9 FM, the official station for the Crimson Tide in Tuscaloosa. This segment brought to you by Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. If you're looking for the ideal destination for family fun, we're talking about a place that combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Check out Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers with 5 centers in Middle Tennessee. There's a location near you, so book your next party or event. We're talking about birthday parties, family reunions, fundraising affairs, and more. You can get more information by going online, strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations, Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, which includes bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also with laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over 2 decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is 4-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
This is the sound of a racing heart. It's beating a little faster because it belongs to a young child. But this child isn't in the middle of a close soccer game or playing with her puppy in the yard. Her heart is racing because she's just been told she has to move foster homes again. Change a child's story. There's a child waiting for a volunteer like you.
Volunteer or donate at CasaNashville.org.
Every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line. It's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home.
Knowledge, trust, results.
Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. Learn more about his proven marketing plan at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. Richard Courtney is part of Frederick and Clark Realty. 615-327-4800.
Penn Station likes to mix things up. Cold subs for lunch, grilled subs for dinner, wraps and salads for any time. Penn Station's got a variety of delicious extras for everyone in the family. Fresh cut fries, cheese bread, kids' meals, and chocolate chunk cookies. So whether we grill, we fry, or we bake, we like to give you plenty of options. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
This is Jim Renitz, CEO of InsBank. For over 17 years, InsBank has been proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses, people we consider friends. InsBank is a true local bank built by and for Nashville business leaders, a place where clients' best interests come first, a place where you have access to local decision makers, and a place where you receive the personalized service you deserve. It's because we are a different kind of bank that knows what makes sense for you and your business. Come visit us at our Green Hills or Brentwood office or online at InsBankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know InsBank, where genuine matters.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Now back to Johnny Ballpark Franks and the Countdown to Kickoff Show.
Welcome back to the Johnny Ballpark Franks Show. We're with the Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show, and of course, we'll be with you today until noon. Coming up just after 11, Doug Segrist joins us out of Birmingham. He is on the TV show The Zone on ABC 3340, talking SEC. Also at 11:37 this morning, Ron Higgins, columnist with TigerDetails.com, as we preview LSU as they take on Florida. Back-to-back games for Florida as far as top 10 matchups. They had it last week hosting Auburn. They get it today as they take on fifth-ranked LSU. Another matchup, one of the four involving top 25 teams. We've got Alabama number one, Texas A&M number 24 today, and College Station. It's the SEC game on CBS. And talk more about this. Our good buddy Ryan Fowler joins us from Tuscaloosa with Tide 100.9 FM. Ryan, hope you're having a great Saturday morning.
Man, I'm having an awesome Saturday morning and just trying to get things rolling and looking up at the wonderful television set of things. And you know, I think I've got a permanent spot right here in my recliner. I mean, it's just literally like this is where I'm going to be from 11 o'clock all the way through the games. I didn't make it to Texas A&M. Logistically, when you do an evening show, it's rather difficult to be able to do that. And man, I'm excited. I'm excited to sit around watching a lot of great college football, my friend.
You know, I was looking at when you think about Alabama, I mean, it's really unfair because I do a complete breakdown of all the Power Five conference teams each week. And when you're coming up with fun notes to bring to the table, it's kind of like comparing apples to oranges when you look at some of these incredible stats that Alabama has been able to put together, especially since the start of 2008, and comparing to other teams. I mean, I'll just pick a couple because I got a whole page. I mean, you could write a book with these incredible stats. The one that, you know, sticks out, the fact that 134 out of 137 past weeks since the start of 2008, every time Alabama has taken the field, it's had national championship implications. The only 3 weeks that did not apply was after Bama lost to LSU in the month of November back in 2010. Or how about the fact that Alabama, you know, we know about the 87-game winning streak against unranked teams. They've only lost to one team outside the top 15 since the start of 2008, and that was to South Carolina ranked 19th back in 2010. And to put that in proper perspective, I mean, today is one of these matchups with 24th-ranked Texas A&M. Every other team has lost at least 10 games in that same scenario since 2008.
Wow. Wow. I mean, listen, it's a historical run. I was looking at wins against top 25 teams. I mean, even though Texas A&M, I'm not buying that they're a complete football team. I still see a lot of weaknesses. This would get Nick Saban one step closer, and I think he would have a chance to break that if he continues. I mean, it's wins all time against top 25 teams. I think he's at 82. Joe Paul's at 85. So, I mean, he's the king as far as beating top 25 teams. These records are going to begin to fall, and the longer he does this, the longer this thing is going to, you know, last. When you talk about the dynasty, it's a lot of fun. I hear a lot of people saying, it's dead, it's dead, it's dead, it's dead, it's dead, it's dead. I'm not buying that because I see what's happening in Tuscaloosa. I see the same energy level going out on the practice field that I've really seen for the last, you know, 13 years.
You say it's dead, right? I'll just throw up one just extra log on that fire. Look at all the teams that played last week. So half the teams that played last week suffered a loss in the regular season, right? You look at Alabama in the last 50 games in regular season action. Alabama is 49-1 in the last 50 regular season games. 49-1.
Wow.
I mean, it's just mind-boggling. It's to the point where you're kind of numb to these things each week when we talk about it, you know. And Everybody wants to downplay it. The fact that every year for 12 straight years, Alabama has been ranked number one at least 1 week. I mean, the old record, by the way, was 7 years set by Miami starting in 86 and ending in the early 90s. And Bama's getting ready to double that in two more years. I mean, it just keeps going on and on and on.
Wow. I mean, yes, it is. And it's just to be able to, you know, back up and think about. I tell Alabama fans this all the time, that you have got to be able to look at it and to be able to enjoy this moment. You've got to be able to look at it and go, man, this is incredible. This is fun. All it takes, and I did this earlier this week, and no picking at Braves fans, but Braves fans had one of their worst losses of their entire existence, right? And so when I look at Atlanta and I look at that loss, I asked the folks what their worst loss as an Alabama fan was. And, you know, this is the part that's really crazy. You know, there's only been 21 losses in Tuscaloosa under Nick Saban. And so it was kind of fun to go back and relive some of those moments because it reminded us of how great Alabama currently is. I mean, they were really having to go back in the 2000s. You know, and some would say, you know, 1973, Notre Dame. And it was just fun to go from a historical approach, but it also gave us a chance to reflect, you know, under this Nick Saban era, you don't have many of those. Yeah, you had the one in Santa Clara just a couple of, you know, months ago. But other than that, you really don't have one of these type games.
And you throw out the six losses in 2007, that really brings that number down.
Sure.
But you know what? You know, you talk about the 120-plus wins. Here's the thing about, from a Nick Saban perspective, he's not reflecting on those wins. He's not reflecting on the national championships. He looks back on how he could have won those games that he lost.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, listen, anytime you ever visit with this guy, that's the first thing he brings up. I mean, it is the first thing that he brings up is you'll ask him to reflect, and he pretty much immediately steers the conversation. And, well, how about the ones that did win a championship? What was wrong with those things? I mean, it's like that, you know, and he's so right. I mean, I know he's won the national titles that he's won. Johnny, how many would he have won if the ball bounced a little funny in one certain way? I mean, just a little different.
Oh, you could count less than, you could probably add another five and do it in 10 plays.
Probably could.
Because I did this. I played this game before last year, and if I remember correctly, it was nine. You could add four or five more in that situation.
Wow.
And I've had this conversation with Bobby Bowden before, too, because he got the two national titles. This was before, and most of those chances that he had was before BCS and even before, obviously, the college football playoff. And I actually asked him, I said, you know, Coach, you would have had a chance under the system we have today, because he had that 14 straight years of top five finishes. I said, with the system we have in place today, you would have had a chance to now play for nine national titles. Now, you've got two trophies. Would you give them back right now for a chance to play for nine total? He didn't even hesitate. I want them. Give me a chance to play for all nine. And that's the kind of guy that Coach Bowden is. And Nick Saban would love to have a do-over in some of these plays we're talking about.
No, 100%. 150%. And you know, it's these one little small, you know, things, which gives us a great segue to move to this team here, is there's some problems with this team. This is not your typical Nick Saban dominant football team. If they don't clean things up, they may not be able to accomplish their goals that they set for.
I'm looking at Tua Tagovailoa, and there's so many incredible stats. The fact no interceptions in 167 straight attempts, which leads the FBS. But the one that really applies to me, I look at the career passing touchdowns list as far as in the SEC, and everybody in the top nine have played 4 years, right? At number 10, Rex Grossman. The only person, in fact, on this list, Rex Grossman from Florida, he played three. He's tied with A.J. McCarron at 77. Tua Tagovailoa needs two passing touchdowns today to be 10th on this list. 3 to tie the late Jared Lorenzen from Kentucky, 4 to get to number 8. I mean, and all these other players we're talking about did it in 4 years, and here's Tua basically as a starter, we're talking about 1.5 years.
Wow. I mean, you're right. It's, I think it's 20 games he's done this. 20 games. Whew. I mean,
he's averaging 3.75 touchdown passes per game, by the way. Put that in proper perspective. I mean, 75 touchdown passes in 20 games.
All right, but I have to ask you this question, because from our standpoint, we almost feel that we're setting up another one of those, that he's not the front runner right now for the Heisman Trophy. I think he's got to be.
Not right now, but and that's okay, because remember, he was the leading guy every week last year until the very end when the injury slowed him down. So I'm fine with somebody else being that lead horse coming around the final turn and now tuckered out because it was in the hunt, I mean, it was in the front the whole time. And what happens on that final turn? It gets passed. And so I'm fine with Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, whoever. Here's the thing about Joe Burrow. Great numbers. They have yet to play a defense this year. I look at LSU starting tonight against Florida, and then you look at the next matchups. Mississippi State on the road next week, and then they host Auburn, and then the bye week, and then they get Alabama and Tuscaloosa. Let's see where Joe Burrow's numbers are when we go through that four-game stretch.
Sure. No, I mean, and you know, I've also made the argument, too, if LSU is able to go through that stretch that you're talking about, then they deserve to be the number one team coming to Tuscaloosa, because they'll have the resume. So if this committee truly looks at what they say they look at, and they don't look at AP, they don't look at coaches poll, they look at just the body of work, if LSU is able to run through Florida, they'll play Auburn, which at that point will still be, you know, a top 20 team, because they'll beat Arkansas next week. They're going to bye week and they go to LSU.
Right.
To me, I think you've got to make the case that who's got a more impressive resume. It would have to be LSU. Put them at number one, because if you truly don't evaluate the polls or any of that, and you're looking at the best body of work, if you flip out a resume, it's got to be LSU.
By the way, too, Alabama entering play today, they've already got the most wins of this decade. They had the most wins in the 60s with 85. They had the most wins of any college football team in the 70s with 103. They already have the most wins in this decade. They're 6 away from tying Penn with 124 wins back in the 1890s when they played a lot more games. All-time most wins in a decade. And looking at the schedule and looking what lies ahead for the Crimson Tide, they should be able to get that. As always, Ryan, it's just fun, because I was going to say let's break down the game. But honestly, you're a 17-point favorite today if you're Alabama against Texas A&M. If Alabama loses, it's because of Alabama, and I don't see that happening today. But if you're not doing so, keep up with Ryan on Twitter at Ryan C. Fowler, talk show host down in Tuscaloosa. The show is The Game on 100.9 FM. We appreciate you, buddy. Have a great football weekend.
Johnny, you do as well. And like I said, everybody find a recliner that's not inside of a stadium, and you have no excuse to even move today. I mean, it's from 11 o'clock all the way until midnight. I love this sport, man. I love college football. Johnny, have an awesome weekend, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ryan Fowler once again joining us from Tuscaloosa. This segment brought to you by Penn Station East Coast Subs. Check them out, Hermitage and the two locations in Murfreesboro, Memorial Boulevard or Medical Center Parkway. For the entire month of October, try the Philly Cheesesteak Sub with chips and drink at a special price. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to
strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
This is the sound of a racing heart. It's beating a little faster because it belongs to a young child. But this child isn't in the middle of a close soccer game or playing with her puppy in the yard. Her heart is racing because she's just been told she has to move foster homes again. Change a child's story. There's a child waiting for a volunteer like you.
Volunteer or donate at CasaNashville.org.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Whether having heating concerns during the cold winter months or looking to cool off those hot summer days, nobody in Middle Tennessee is better equipped to serve your needs than Lanham's AC Service. From heating and cooling issues to water heaters, you can count on Lanham's AC Service with a system and solution that fits your unique needs while doing it right the first time. Serving the area for over 30 years, owner Brian Eskew and his team are dedicated to providing the best possible solutions for your home or business as they provide reliable and honest service for Nashville and Middle Tennessee, and they do it with the name brands you have come to trust. You will not find a more caring and qualified company than Lanham's AC Service. And remember, financing is available and they service and repair all brands. Call today to schedule a service or maintenance call, 615-969-9065. That's 969-9065, or go to lanhamsacservice.com.
It's the Countdown to Kickoff Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back to our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Like we do each and every Saturday, we are with you from 10 a.m. to noon, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. It's time for our Armed Forces Update, brought to you by Lanham Service, AC Service, I should say. Here's the thing. We've noticed the weather change. You know, last week, 90s. Now it's getting cooler. Call today to schedule a service or maintenance call. Lanham's AC Service. The number again, 615-969-9065. That's 969-9065. Or go to lanhamsacservice.com. As far as our Armed Forces update, starting with Navy, the midshipmen 3-1 on the season, 1-1. And 1-1 in conference play in the American Athletic Conference. Last week, they beat Air Force 34-25. Today, they're at Tulsa, 6:30 start time as they take on Tulsa. Tulsa 2-3 on the season, 0-1 in conference play. Next week, Navy will be playing host to South Florida, a 2:30 start time next Saturday. Army today, the Black Knights 3-2 on the year. Last week, they lost to Tulane 42-33. Today, they're at Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky 3-2 on the season, a game that you'll be able to hear right here on Nashville Sports Radio. 5 o'clock for the pregame kickoff just after 6. Army, by the way, next week will be at Georgia State. 6 o'clock kickoff for that one. And then finally, in the Mountain West, the Air Force Falcons 3-2 on the year, 1-1. In Mountain West play last week, as we mentioned, they lost to Navy 34-25. This week they play host to Fresno State. 6 o'clock kickoff for that one. This is Fresno State's first conference game. They're 2-2 on the year. Next week, Air Force, by the way, will be at Hawaii. Nice little road trip for them. 10 o'clock kickoff for that one, Central Time. Our Armed Forces update this week brought to you by Lanham's AC Service. Looking at the 11 o'clock hour, coming up just after 11, our good buddy Doug Segrist joins us out of Birmingham. The TV show is The Zone on ABC 3340. We'll be getting his thoughts on the SEC landscape today. At 11:37, Ron Higgins, a columnist with TigerDetails.com. It is LSU Rivals website as we preview one of the four top 25 matchups that we have on the calendar today. And this is the only one featuring both teams ranked in the top 10 as fifth-ranked LSU plays host to seventh-ranked Florida. Those other three matchups, by the way, number one-ranked Alabama, their first game as the number one this year, at 24th-ranked Texas A&M. That's a 2:30 start time for that one. The other two contests involve, first of all, from the Big 12, and one of the games we'll be keeping up with in the 11 o'clock hour, the Red River Rivalry. As 6th-ranked Oklahoma takes on 11th-ranked Texas in Dallas. And then finally, you've got Penn State, number 10 in the country. They're at 17th-ranked Iowa. That's a 6:30 kickoff for that game. Some of the other games we'll be keeping you updated with in the 11 o'clock hour. Number three team in the country this week, Georgia. They're hosting South Carolina. We mentioned Oklahoma, number six, against 11th-ranked Texas. Also, 11 o'clock kickoffs this morning, 16th-ranked Michigan at Illinois. It's 23rd-ranked Memphis at Temple. Other 11 a.m. kickoffs include Maryland versus Purdue from the Big Ten. Tennessee over in Knoxville, another one of the SEC matchups. 1-4 looking for their second win of the season, their first conference win of the year as they play host to Mississippi State. They entered this game, the Bulldogs 3-2, 1-1 in the SEC. Other 11 a.m. kickoffs include Rutgers versus Indiana from the Big Ten. In the MAC, you've got Western Michigan hosting Miami, Ohio. And then finally at 11 o'clock, Bowling Green hosting Toledo. And then one other game involving FBS in the 11 o'clock hour. In the ACC, you've got Duke 3-2 on the year, 1-1 in the ACC, hosting Georgia Tech. They're 1-4, 0-2 in conference play. Hour number one in the books, hour number two coming up. As always, we appreciate you joining us each and every Saturday with our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show right here on Nashville Sports Radio.